What a blessing to be back at Emmanuel. We really do like this winter meeting. I mean, it's like it's part of it's a character building for me, at least, I know. Yeah, praise God. I'm thankful for the privilege it is, my wife and I both, to be your missionaries. It's been like a long time. Pastor, it's been a long time since we've been in the church. We had some meetings over there for quite a while, and then came over here, and church has really grown, and always been a wonderful and generous and kindly to missions. That one of the first things that struck on us, our hearts, about when we first came, we were in the mission house, and we had a couple, 3 days to live between churches, and it was, in those days, for us just getting started, I mean, it was, scraping together about everything all the time. And had to use the XL minute cards to, dial out on the phone before cell phones. And I forgot what the charge per minute was, but I know we usually had a $200 or $300 or $400 phone bill because we had to call, make a lot of long-distance calls. I called a lot of preachers and their secretaries and see if we couldn't get a meeting. So Pastor came by a little ago and said, well, use the phone all you like, but don't use your card. Yeah. What? He said, yeah, just use the phone and call who you need to call. Well, I said, wow, what a blessing that was in that. I mean, what an impression. Just the heart of a church to want to help like that. And we really been fond of each and every one of you. We come and watch some of you grow up, from the other. And so it's just an honor to be part of this work. 34 years of prison ministry. I graduated late in life from Bible school. I was 40 years old about when I graduated. So I've had a dramatic conversion experience in my late 30s. So I got saved, praise God, and then went to Bible school and graduated, hallelujah. And then I knew I was supposed to go into prisons to do prison ministry. And so the Lord opened all those doors and just, navigated that for me. And then I knew I needed a wife, so I started praying and then got up here up in Maine and saw Miss Yvonne was up in the choir at her home church, and that worked out, praise the Lord. In 1994, we were saved, and I think we got to know this church a little bit after that, or we were married. So it's just been a wonderful, wonderful privilege just to know the Lord and have been witness all he can do in a life. And I really not intending to quit. I have to say it that way, because if the Lord says, I sure will, amen. And if he, comes tonight, then, hey, I'll be in heaven. So we don't know when that's going to be. I do know this. The road's getting longer and harder, and we're still managing without a capital M, though. Just a barely a little M. But we're getting by, getting here and there. In Florida, we had 20 facilities this year to go to, coming up in 25. And most of all those are 4 times a year. So we got just about every weekend covered. And we go out to the panhandle a lot. We go down around our own area and then sort of south some, not as far south as we go west. But we're in lots of prisons there in the area. We know those inmates. We've been seeing them for years. So it's a great blessing and honor just to be back again, to have church in the prisons with them. And we get to come up here, and it's changed a little here, but we've been blessed to have the invitation still. Looking forward to Thursday, and it's a chapel service on Thursday instead of Sunday because they changed up that. But I'm glad to be able to come anytime, and God will open the door and allow it. And so we're working with our second chaplain there, but he's a good man. He's accommodating where he can, and We're just looking forward to the service coming up. We've had a pretty good crowd last summer there. Looking forward to the similar. They don't have the biggest chapel of all, but they've got adequate room for maybe 50 to 70, you know, depending on how tight they get packed. So they got a room to get enough in there. Some new ones come if they want to. So we're looking forward to that. Pray, please, because it is the power of God that makes a difference. And we're asking for souls and asking for those that are in need of direction from God that He would meet their need as that goes. But we've been in a while. We've had a pretty good year last year as far as numbers of us, meetings, numbers of services, and met that goal from 34 years back in late last year of 10,000 precious souls saved in the prisons, and that was kind of like a milestone. But thank the Lord, it's behind us. We're looking for everyone that wants to come to know Jesus. We're ready to point them that way. Amen. And God's the one that makes them want to, so we're happy to be used. Like I say, I'm not really sure about how long we're going to be in this because we want to stay in it until He comes. But if our physical getting around, you know, should deteriorate, we'll have to stay home and be closer. Maybe, you know, take up a ministry in our regional area where we don't have to go on long drives and just, you know, there's two or three prisons that are nearby. We might could go counsel that or do something like that. But anyway, I'm open to be used of God. We love Him. We love the Lord. Love you all. Appreciate your support through the years, and you've been really great to us. And I mean, that was a pretty nice selection of dinners there in the freezer. Amen. We've been very well fed while we've been in the mission's house, and I appreciate so much that. But let's look into the Word tonight. I'll not keep you long, but I do want to preach a little while. And this is going to be from Hebrews. But there's another text that you need to find as well, which is Isaiah 53. So I would go to Isaiah 53 and mark it. And then that's what I'm going to do anyway. And then Hebrews, the starting text. And I'll read both of them. But this is a message the Lord's put on my heart some time ago. And it hasn't really been preached to speak of, but it's about, of course, the blood of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. And so I'm not going to try to introduce too much of it. It hasn't got a name yet. But what we're going to do is just go ahead and look at the Bible tonight and try to just ask God to help us with it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. And I do have shortness of breath issues these days. As a matter of fact, I don't do any foot races much anymore. Just about. And I do have from time to time, a coughing spasm situation comes over me. The Lord's been good to not have that too much in the pulpit, though, so I'm praying there. But it's a part of being 76, I guess, but we're going to keep on keeping on till He comes for us. And this is the scriptures I'm going to read. And tonight I may not shout quite as loud as I might have in my past, but we won't need to shout with what the Word do the shouting. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity to be the death of the testator or testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. This tells the importance in Hebrews 9 here of the Lord's blood shed, his shed blood for you and I. It was offered once. Verse 12 shows us that he entered in once into the holy place. He had to die. Jesus had to die on the cross. And we're seeing that he shed his blood. Verse 16 and 17 shows where he had to die, but we shed his blood. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. He shed his blood on the cross. Is that important, Brother Jim? Oh, yes. That's important because while we're there in Hebrews 9, look at verse 27. Because that's why. That's why. Because he loved us so. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's no escaping that. Even those skillful in debate cannot talk their way out of that, because God said it. Amen. He's the one that made the judgment. He's the one that formed that indictment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's a need. Mankind has a great need. The great need, of course, if he's realistic minded and wants to know about his own afterlife, he's going to be worried about where he's going to be. And the Bible shows us that man has a reassurance. We do, hallelujah, have hope in God about eternal life, because he offered it, his word has promised it, and he delivers it. We know he delivers it. The gospel, the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 15, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was prophesied, according to the scriptures, Paul said, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was according to the scriptures, that being the Old Testament when he was saying it. So that meant that we could find the gospel in the Old Testament. So I had you turn to Isaiah 53, and would like for you to look there for a moment. That's one of my, I believe if I had to say I had a favorite chapter, it would be this one, because I love it. Because it's 700 years prior to Jesus coming, the prophet Isaiah had actually made this prophecy. God was speaking to him. And it does tell us about the gospel. Tells us about, it doesn't mention the name Jesus, but it does tell us someone's coming. And it does point to him. Chapter 53, I'll read the whole chapter, it doesn't take long. Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. And pray now for the filling of the Spirit of God, for preaching the gospel. Now, as you bless us tonight as we come to church, and thank you so much for this honor, this privilege to be a missionary from Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church. And thank you, God, for the privilege of being here in the pulpit. I pray that you would bless, dear God, each one that's come. And Lord, it is not the nicest night to travel, but Lord Jesus, they've got hearts and hungry hearts to come. And I pray that you would do bless, fill, and meet their needs, each one, dear God, that's here. And I pray, keep a hand upon this church and these activities. Bless Brother Viscom as he has his surgery Thursday. Bless Ms. Legault also as she has surgery also. And I'm sure there were others mentioned that I didn't remember all of, but I know that you are the great physician. And we do pray, God, that you would just intervene and grant, dear God, successful surgeries. And also, dear God, that you would heal, dear Lord, these infirmities. Thanking you for that, for who you are and what you do. In the name of Jesus, bless the missionary outreach, this church. They're also their evangelistic outreach in the area, the community, a well-known church in the area. And I pray that you would continue to keep a hand upon this, and God, that you would prosper and bless in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So this was Isaiah 700 years before Christ came to the manger, and it was prophesied. And he was the one to come. We can see verse 1 and 2 and see that it's lined out that way, that one is expected to come. And one, I mean, is going to have a special place with God, one that is going to come to be a Messiah, the Messiah. So he's shown to us, verses 1 and 2, and it's described to us in 2 and 3, described that he wasn't accepted. He wasn't exactly appreciated. There's no beauty that we should desire him, Scripture says. Despised, rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And explained to us there about the being not being rejected of his own. What the prophet shares about him to come tells us that it could only be Jesus. When we look, I mean, this passage, it couldn't be another person you could put a name there of any other person that we could think of and say, well, that's Isaiah speaking about him or him or him. No, it's Jesus. Amen. It's a Jesus, the one to come. As we know from the rest of the scriptures today, he is our substitute on the cross. As a matter of fact, it's prophesied in Isaiah as well, 5 and 6. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the atonement, the vicarious atonement that he's took for us, gave for us. I mean, it should be me on the cross. Should have been me. It should have been you for our own sin. But the prophet shows us about him to come. It could only be Jesus. He's our substitute on the cross. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is prophesied also here 700 years before he actually went to the cross. And we can see that. This is the Old Testament now. But we can see that his death in verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Most of the time we see the land of the living, it's talking about life right now, and it's this time, or even the time it's being described as in the Bible. But the land of the living, he was killed on that cross, cut off out of the land of the living. And so he did die there on the cross. And he, of course, taken down off the cross and put in a tomb. He made his grave with the wicked, verse 9, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried according to Scriptures. And see verse 10. The Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him when he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, Jesus was, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Brother Jim, you said resurrection. Where do you see that? Okay, well, Jesus did not have children or grandchildren or a family unit like we identify family units, okay? He did not have that in his life. He was especially called for what God had him to do. So he had no relations of that sort. And the word seed, besides talking about a handful of seeds that we plant and scriptures that we pass out, the word seed can also be extrapolated to the generations from the past, the generations of the future of family units. And he shall see his seed, because the Bible says, many as received him, they may become the sons of God. The sons of God, as many as received him. If you're saved tonight, he sees you. He knows you. He knows, amen, knows you're in church on a snowy night. Hallelujah. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, the Bible says. Now, you know, I hope for prolonged days myself, or, you know, if you in serving the Lord. I don't know how long that's going to be. But, hey, he was dead, but he's alive, and his days are everlasting. Amen. They're prolonged, all right. Prolonged days. I'm just telling you tonight, if we want to look at this honestly, we can see the resurrection of Jesus right here, as well as his death and burial. That's why I can confidently say I believe it's certainly the Lord Jesus Christ that Isaiah is talking about. And his death, cut off out of the land of the living, his burial, made his grave with the wicked, and his resurrection shall see his seed. That foretells his fulfilling the gospel. What Christ has done on the cross. The promise from God. God's plan of salvation. And we've got that verse, the verses in Hebrews that kicked off with tonight. And it describes the sacrifices by the Levites and Christ once for all sacrifice. And that was important. The key context verse there. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. That's in the passage. No blood, no remission. And think about, please, if had Christ bled only. You know, people can bleed and not die. You know, had Christ bled only but lived. And some of those theologians that go around talking about the swoon theory believe that sort of thing. But there would be no atonement. There would be no atonement for you and I had he not died. His death, the burial, the resurrection, he had to not only to bleed but die. Had Christ died, though, had he died without shedding his blood, like electric chair or a lethal injection or some of the execution manners that are used today, there would be no atonement. There would be no atonement there either. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission. And so in our passage in Hebrews, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So we've got these two passages of Scripture that I'm going to look at tonight. And also in Isaiah, there's a couple of, there's a prophecy, a couple of prophecies. So one I'm thinking of right now is Isaiah 7:14. And then the actual realization in Matthew 1 and 23 about the virgin birth. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And don't ever discount just how sweet that is, that God is with us. Amen. That he came. He's not a corporate CEO sitting on a skyscraper somewhere, you know, in charge of all that goes on. Or he's not a general in you know, like a major general in a fighting force that's pushing around buttons and such as that in a big table somewhere. No, he came to be born of a virgin. He came to be with us. Jesus experienced what we've experienced. Jesus understands pain in the body. He understands hunger or thirst or any other of the things that we can have a difficulty with. He can feel that, but he was among us. He came to be one of us, God with us. And praise the Lord, he actually had gone from heaven to come to here to be that atonement for our sin, our substitutionary atonement that we saw about in Isaiah. And this is something the Bible does tell us about the shedding of blood, how there can be no remission without the shedding of blood. But in medical science, or doctors will tell and us that the baby's blood is from the father at conception, from the father. The mother bears the baby in her body, but doesn't provide any blood herself. The cell that the father brings to conception is equipped to develop all the blood that the baby needs as it grows. And Scripture tells us this in Romans chapter 3. You would take your Bible and turn there with me, please, to Romans chapter 3 and also to Ephesians chapter 1. And if chapter 3 is a passage about the blood that we can see where it's God's blood. Therefore, verse 20, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, this verse 24 comes back up to verse 22, those that have the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified. Hallelujah. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God's righteousness. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It was God's blood shed. God's righteousness is received. And that justice, God is satisfied because his justice is secure. I mean, when God could just say, okay, this, you know, offer these pigeons and take the pigeons into the altar each year, and that'll be fine. Do that all the time, and you'll be set with it. Now, he could do that. He could have for us too, but he didn't. See, we have sinned, come short of the glory of God, come short of his glory. No way that pigeons are going to help us, or any other sacrificial animal could ever help that. No way he's going to forget that either, that we are short of his glory. To be just, for him to be just, there had to be holy, righteous blood shed. That would be Jesus, his only begotten Son, born of a virgin, prophesied in the scriptures in the Old Testament. Jesus. And he did, because with the Son of God providing the atonement, he is just. God is just, even in that conclusion. So I want you to realize that justice is important here, that to God, it's important to him. Scripture says, also, let's go to Ephesians with me, please. I believe, yeah, 4. Verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, careful, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us a mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, trust in himself. So we see it's God's blood, verse 7 once more. We see it's God's will, verse 9. And we see God's good pleasure also in verse 9. God's love demonstrated here in the scriptures, in Jesus and what he has done for us. And I don't think any of us, anyone here tonight, could say that anyone else that you know cares more about you than that. Because I could not. Praise God for it was Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. So we've got this passage of scripture here, though, speaking of and making a comment about predestination. And that can be scary to some. But I'd just like for you to see, please, tonight, that in Romans chapter 8, we also know a scripture that lets us see that God's foreknowledge precedes his call. The foreknowledge precedes the call. In Romans chapter 8, I'd be right to read verse 28 with it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even the hard things. To them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, them that are called, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That'd be his perfect will, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That verse 29, the first sentence there about foreknowledge, that's why it leads us off here, I believe. I'm not ever going to be convinced by anyone that God has a limited atonement or has some other source of those Calvinistic doctrines that, you know, like, I just believe that he'll save anybody that will come to him willing and desiring to be saved, repentant of their sin. Well, Jim, that doesn't qualify you as a seminary student. Well, okay, I'll just have to go ahead and preach in prison. But I'm just saying, and I hope I'm not rankling anybody about that. It's just the way I believe. And a pastor can correct me anytime he wants to. He's big enough, surely. Amen. So what we're doing, I'm just saying that God loves sinners. Jesus came to die on that cross. He was prophesied way beforehand. He did as it was God's perfect will that he do, and God was satisfied that he made the sacrifice that he did for our sins, and he is Lord and Savior, Jesus. I'm thankful to be saved. I know it was, I didn't understand it. I didn't even think I would care about it before I knew him, but I thank God he did. He showed me that, yeah, you care about it. You need this. I had to be convinced. But I did willingly receive him. Amen? And I believe that's what it is. I think people will go through hard-headed times in their lives and do things that are wrong mistakenly, perhaps. Now, maybe not everybody, but some. And still, God's love, the Holy Ghost of God's working in their life can actually get them to the cross. If they'll just go ahead and say, yes, Lord. Just go ahead and say yes. And consider this in closing tonight, that God did not need to pay a ransom to the devil to redeem us. The Bible says we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. God doesn't forgive sin. He doesn't forgive sin. He forgives sinners. He forgives sinners. Sin demands a price be paid. The wages of sin is death. And just dying physically, that's not going to do it. Just dying physically is not all there is to it. Because death for the soul is eternal. Eternal. Revelation chapter 20. Eternal death in the lake of fire is the end price that must be paid for sin. Yet, hallelujah. Yet, there is a great alternative to paying ourselves. I mean, paying ourselves, we could. And we will, those of us that don't know him tonight, eventually, if you don't trust him. But if you're taking that alternative and you've trusted Christ, then God's requirement for our sins is fully met. Fully met when we believe his son Jesus became a man and made the atonement for us in his own blood and satisfied his demand for justice, Romans 3:26. He didn't pay the devil. He didn't come out of his pocket to pay the devil to ransom you from your sin, because he had his only begotten son make an atonement on the altar to provide for us. He shall see there's the veil of his soul and shall be satisfied. I mean, it didn't please him, make him happy. It accomplished its purpose and satisfied his will that Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for us. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 shows us that the blood is literal and it was shed on the cross, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Just as surely as you need food and drink to live physically, for physical life, you need Jesus for eternal life. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 6 that Christ is the only way. And I don't like count all the times a word is mentioned in the concordance. I mean, people could, and it's a good thing to do, maybe for a discipline or something. But there is a number out there that a certain concordance, I don't know if it's a Strong's exhaustive concordance, whichever one it was, but it gives a number of times that the word sin is mentioned in the King James Bible. 447. 447 is what this concordance says. And it also gives a number of times the word blood. I'm sorry, that the blood is 447. And it also gives a number of times the word sin is mentioned. The word sin is mentioned 448. So 447 blood in the King James Bible and 448 sin. So, Brother Jim, wouldn't it be good if ever the same? Well, they're not. Evidently, I didn't count them. But I do just go ahead and explain it like this. There's enough blood to cover every sin except man's sin of unbelief. Man's sin of unbelief. It's not going to cover that one. Amen. And that's the one you're responsible for here tonight. If you're here without Christ, is your own soul and that your need for a Savior. I know that we've talked mostly about Jesus and heaven and sweet by and by. And some of you might be thinking, well, Brother Jim, that's all fine. It's comforting to know about the sweet by and by. But what about my problems? What about the nasty now and now? And I'd like to just go ahead and say this. The blood of Jesus stands and still stands for miraculous, for miracles, hallelujah, for the atonement provided by that blood. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, we spoke about earlier about that atonement. For the atonement provided, for the actual healing provided. Brother Jim, whoa, wait, are you Pentecostal? No, but the Bible says by his stripes are you healed. He bled. God does the healing. Amen. We just need to be in prayer about, amen, for ourselves, our families, that God does touch their bodies. And it's not always maybe his plan and perfect will to raise up each and every one of us, because we're going to have to get to heaven some way. But just saying this, that don't stop praying and don't minimize praying. Amen. I mean, the doctors are important perhaps, but I'm saying this. Prayer and God, he's a great physician. If you need to get a hold of him, the blood stands and it still stands for these miracles. And a sound mind. So, Brother Jim, what would you know about being crazy? I could tell you stories. Hebrews 9:14. It says in the scriptures, Hebrews 9:14. How much of the eternal spirit who offered himself without spot to God purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Purge your conscience. Purge my conscience. Amen. The blood of Jesus can do it. Amen. And it's essential for someone that's been exposed to a lot of things that are not really something you want to remember up there, or should remember. Amen. Get rid of it. Get it purged. Plead the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. The blood stands. It still stands. Amen. And we got to just not think of it as something happened a long time ago, or even something happened to us when we trusted him. It's something we have access to today. Amen. And when you're asking for your conscience to be purged, a sound mind, you might want to go ahead and remember that you've got the blood and you've got also the book. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's the word. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that is something to continue in reading of the scriptures. Plead the blood in your prayers. Keep stay in the book. And your mind thought processes can be cleansed and cleaned, hallelujah, by the power of God, miraculously. Amen. Praise God. And it's good that we have the atonement. Amen. The wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. On the way, we're going to heaven. That's what he's already done for us. If you're here saved, you can say hallelujah, because that's what happened. Amen. And healing, just pray. Plead the blood. When you need some healing, I'm praying. I'm praying for the conditions that God's given us and helps us with strength to continue keeping on and keeping on. Amen. And also pray for others, the folks that you know that are in need of prayer. Amen. And that's how Christian outreach should work. But I'm trying to go ahead and say this. When we pray, we're going to believe. We're going to believe in it. Amen. It's not like a wishful thinking thing. This is God's prayer that we can make for something that's concerning, and he cares about enough to give a promise about it. We need to go ahead and believe it. And plant your feet and say, this is what I'm trusting. This is God's word. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for your precious book. And thank you for your precious son going to the cross for our sins. And I pray that you'd, Lord Jesus, continue to use the work in the prisons for the reaching of lost souls. And also, dear God, the pointing of others, perhaps, to fill the void in the facilities and actually to begin ministry in these places that need the Lord so bad. I pray that you'd bless this church, bless God's people here tonight, bless the requests that have already been offered up, and we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.